This is Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. A bit of serendipity happened as the COVID-19 pandemic was moving into the United States. The UC Davis Mind Institute had been working on new ways to reach more families. Now, this is an international research center that's dedicated to the awareness, the understanding, prevention, and treatment of neurodevelopmental disabilities like autism and other spectrum disorders. So you can imagine there is always a waiting list for appointments and doctor visits. The Mind Institute had been trying to solve that dilemma. So we're going to pick up the story there with the director of the Institute, Dr. Leonard Abbaduto. He's on the phone with us. Dr. Abbaduto, great to have you back on Insight. Hello.
Hello. Thanks very much for the invitation.
So tell me more about the challenges that you'd been facing and how this timing with the pandemic seemed to work out in a strangely perfect way.
Well, we had been, I think, struggling like a lot of other places in terms of being able to see all the families that need help, whether that's to get a diagnosis to see if their child has autism or to evaluate where they are developmentally so they can get appropriate services. And the truth is there's just not enough expertise or enough clinic space to get everyone in that needs to be seen. And so we, for at least the last 5 to 6 years, have been really interested in how we can use technology to break down the walls of our clinic, if you will, and take our expertise and spread it more widely. And so we've done a lot with coaching parents in their homes through video teleconferencing in real time. We've used the internet to get resources to families, both kind of print resources, but often video resources. And so when the pandemic started, and UC Davis, we're also very fortunate. UC Davis is really a leader nationally and internationally in telehealth. And so we were able to, with a little bit of effort, transition from in-clinic visits to video visits with families. And I think there were a couple of important things about that. We can't do everything that we want to do in a video visit. There are some things we need to really interact with the child and play with the child and all of that. But we can do a lot in the video visit, and I think that that kind of streamlines things for when families do come back to see us face-to-face. But more importantly, I think that a lot of families were feeling isolated, and, you know, the kids are not in school, they don't have support, and so just knowing that someone is there and they can kind of reach out to them and see them and talk to them and know that we care about them and haven't forgotten about them, I think just psychologically, I think that's been really important for families.
So of the content that's now online and the outreach, is there any that's accessible to a family or a person that isn't already established as a patient? Are there just general resources available?
Yeah, we set up if you go to our website, which is mindinstitute.org, there's a resources tab, and our staff have put together an amazing amount of resources that are related, that are kind of COVID-related issues. So how do you deal, you know, how do you talk to your child about what this is and why they can't go to school, why they can't see their teacher, and kind of dealing with those anxieties. But we also have a lot of other resources that are kind of more general that I think are just the timing is really good for families to look at those. We have something called Help is in Your Hands, and you can go to the website. There is Help is in Your Hands, all one word, .org. And there are videos there for parents of young children with autism that show them strategies for helping support their development. And I think the thing that is most concerning right now is that so many of these families are cut off from the special resources that they need to really ensure that their children are developing well and thriving and that the family's not overly stressed. And so we've really tried to get a lot of resources on our website. They're all free. Pretty sizable number of them we've translated into Spanish so that we are helping as many in the community as possible. And so I would really urge people to go look at the website. They don't have to be a patient. They don't need to log into anything for the most part, and all of it's free.
We'll post a link to the mindinstitute.org. And again, that was Help is in Your Hands that you referenced. Say something about people with autism, because you already talked about the support being an issue right now, but with social isolation, the stay-at-home experience, you posted a video message saying this can be a foreign world to anybody, but particularly people with autism who rely on structure. It's a dramatic change.
Yeah, you said it very well. I think that, you know, part of the challenge for a lot of people with autism is being able to adapt to changes in their routine. And I can't think of any time in my lifetime where our routines as a society have been more disrupted. And so I think that that's going to be a challenge for these families. In addition, you know, they're not going to have the special sorts of support they need. I know that the schools are doing the best they can to use kind of internet-based classrooms. But if children have special needs, sometimes it takes more than just sitting them in front of the computer to participate in the class. Their parents will need coaching about how to keep them engaged and all of those sorts of things. And so I think that it really is a time now where the families are going to struggle for a while, and I think we need to do as much as we can to reach out to them and help them. And one of the things that our psychologists here have done, we have two amazing psychologists that do something called cognitive behavioral therapy, which is a kind of a behavioral intervention to reduce anxiety in children that also have autism. And I think that they, you know, they've talked about when they did the Facebook Lives that are still on our website, you know, doing things like creating a different kind of structure in the home, making sure that you create kind of an area where this is where we do our schoolwork and this is an area where we play, get people dressed in the morning, and then also do some activities to get them outside. And then maybe most importantly of all, make sure that you use technology to allow them to have social connections to people. Facebook with classmates, Facebook with relatives, and I think that that can not only be fun, but it also can reassure them that everyone is okay, that even though this is a scary time, not everyone is sick, and I don't have to worry about this person or that person. I can really see them. So I think that those are the sorts of things that I think are really critical.
Hmm. This is Autism Awareness Month. It's a good time to highlight a lot of this. One last question. What about you? What are you finding that you're doing differently or you've had to add into your day or your life during this stay-at-home time?
Well, we spend a lot of time thinking about how we can keep things going now as best as we can while we keep everyone safe, both our staff and our families that depend on us. But we're also looking forward to when we start to resume kind of quote-unquote normal activity post-pandemic, and I think that's going to be a gradual transition. But I also think we've learned so much about, you know, the value of technology that I'm hopeful that what we'll do is we'll continue to expand our use of technology and find the things that we can do with technology to help more families. And then there are those things that are going to require face-to-face contact and that we can do those as well. So we spend a lot of time kind of trying to plan for the future and making sure that we are there to really help families, because I think when they come out of this, I think that there's going to be some challenges that maybe weren't there before that we're going to have to address.
Hmm. As essential work, the Mind Institute has stayed open. I so appreciate this conversation and all that's being offered right now in terms of support. And I look forward to hearing more about how it's going to change long term, because I think the doors, it sounds like, will be open in a wider way than they ever have been in the Institute's history.
I think that's correct. I think we want to make sure that we've learned from this, and so that we can use this rather than kind of as a short-term solution, that this is a long-term solution for helping more families.
Right. Well, take care. Thanks again. It's always a pleasure to have a bit of your time.
Well, thank you so much, Beth. I appreciate it.
That is Dr. Len Abbedudo. He is director of the UC Davis Mind Institute, and he's a professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences. Again, mindinstitute.org, and help is in your hands for some of the various video resources and more of the content that's free and online. And now, let's move right into our uplift, because this daily story to boost your spirits is actually about a family with two sons who have autism, and the producer of a new film, Bo Magnuson, is on the phone. He's the independent filmmaker. The film is titled Spectrum of Love. Hi, Bo. It's great to have you on Insight today.
Hi, Beth, and thank you very much for having me, and thank you to the doctor and Mind Institute for everything they're doing regarding autism.
Your film features the Harrison family of Sacramento. Will you introduce us a bit to the family and tell me what inspired you to tell their story?
So David Harrison and I went to high school together, and he's been my best friend. And he has three boys, and his oldest is 30, and then his other two are 27 and 25. And then David last year had a heart attack, and I just felt like his story was so inspirational, and their love and commitment with their kids are just incredible. So I started a film production company called ImpactMovies.org with the inspiration to make uplifting videos, to shine a light on various issues. And autism is one that was really important to me. The rate of autism is growing. And I just thought this movie would be something that other families that are maybe younger or other parents that are facing challenging situations would find helpful. And so I decided to make it. It's called Spectrum of Love, and you can check it out at ImpactMovies.org.
There is such beautiful texture and truth in what these family members say. So I want to share a clip. This is a conversation from the film that includes David's father. So this is the boy's grandfather you'll hear first, and then David talking about the relationship and about the boys.
I'm not a demonstrative person, and when David started saying, "Dad, I love you," I felt embarrassed because I never said that to my kids. I wish I had of when they were little that I loved them. I never did that, never, because my parents never said they loved me. And it's when David started using the word love that I started using it. And why he started, that's something you'll have to ask him. I don't know, but I like it.
Yeah, I just remember growing up, seeing different things maybe on TV or talking to different people and hearing people say that they really regretted the fact that they never really said that they loved maybe their mother, their father, their friend, and something tragic happened and they lost them. And I didn't want that to ever happen to me or my family. So, you know, I made a habit out of telling my family members every day in the morning and every day at night, or my wife when I would leave to go to work, that I loved them.
Bo, I know you made a film about a family and about autism, but some of the honesty and the experiences like that conversation are so timely for what we're in the midst of right now. I'm sure you've realized that, right?
Yeah, we've gotten some incredible feedback, and, you know, releasing the film during Autism Awareness Month was our goal, but obviously a lot of families are going through challenges, and this was a nice time to share an inspirational, moving story that, you know, gives people some perspective, and, you know, it's so raw. It was incredible, the Harrison family, you know, his dad, Dana's mom, they really opened up to us because they've known me since I was 15. And so it was nice that they shared their feelings and their emotions and, you know, the power of love. And after interviewing them and their oldest son, Charlie, autism has really made them all more compassionate and loving and caring and patient. It's not without their challenges and stresses, but it's just a good reminder of the fact that love is really good medicine, and it's something that's nice to hear. Everybody wants to feel loved, and everybody loves to hear that they are loved. And sometimes you can't hear it back. Their oldest son, or their second, you know, son, Adam, is non-communicative, and so he can't say it back. But in the movie, we talk a little bit and show, you know, David talks a little bit about the ways that Adam expresses his love. And that was how the title came around, is that Dana, the mom, you know, feels four different types of love because Zach is kind of Asperger's, and he shows his love differently, and his parents, David, shows his love to Dana differently. And so there's a variety of types of love, but love is all around her house, and it's something that keeps her moving, and the family unit together is just something that I thought was very touching, and hopefully others feel the same.
I felt connected to things Dana, the mom, was saying right now in a different way than I might have otherwise, because she expressed in raising, in particular, their one son who needed to be at home. She herself found herself at home a lot for many, many years. Like when the family went to church, she could never go. She didn't go out, and she expressed The struggle, the fortitude she had to have, the depression, and boy, I really heard that differently, Bo, right now.
Yeah, for sure. And I think when people are feeling a little alone or isolated right now, you know, they can relate to what Dana was probably feeling raising an autistic child. And I loved her line, like, you don't have a pity party, but, you know, you get a little lonely and depressed. And, you know, she couldn't imagine doing it alone. And her friends and, you know, her husband really pulled through and supported her. And that was an important part of their life and dealing with the situation.
Here's another clip from the film. This is the brother, Charlie, who's obviously a brother to the two others who are autistic.
You know, your family is your family. You know, you don't get to pick your parents, your name, or your family. Good, bad, ugly. Like, we're a family, and we're going to love each other.
And boy, that's another sentiment for the time. What was their reaction to the film, Bo?
Oh, they really loved it. You know, when you're in the middle of filming and interviewing, you're not quite sure what you're going to get and how you're going to put it together. And when we shared it with them, you know, they started crying and they thought that we really captured what they're all about. And they've shared it with their family and friends. And the reaction has just been incredible. So thank you for having me on your show, Beth. And thank you for doing what you do to uplift people's lives and share messages of inspiration with your listeners.
Well, this is a 13-minute film. It's free. It's available. We found it on YouTube. You can, again, go to the Impact Movies website. But I just think it's beautiful for the times, Bo. I think it was remarkable. And before you leave, I do want to know what's happening with your production company. Have you had to stop business? Are you idle at the moment?
We are trying to find creative ways to continue to film and make sure everybody is safe. We are just finishing up, and we had just finished filming a piece about a gentleman that was experiencing homelessness for 30 years and has now found a home through an organization called Urban Pathways. And we filmed Artie's journey home, and it's really touching. They'll be premiering it at their fundraiser gala next month, and then we'll share it on our website. But Impact Movies is dealing with other social issues. We've got something that we did on bullying that, you know, is an issue in our school system, and then we're looking at other opportunities with politics and other issues that we want to try to shine a light on as well. So we'll figure it out and keep trying to make content that people find helpful, beneficial, and hopes to make the world a better place.
Well, you made our day better. So thank you so much, Bo. It's been a pleasure and glad to have you on Insight. Stay safe and continued success, okay?
Thank you, Beth. And you do the same as and all your listeners. Let me just remind you that love is good medicine, and we love all of you.
Bo Magnuson is the owner of Impact Movies. Spectrum of Love is the name of the film, and you can find a link to it at capradio.org/insight. So that's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruyak. Join me at noon for live coverage of the governor's daily press briefing. Stay home, stay safe, stay informed, stay optimistic. And thanks for joining us.